También, pues, muy felices de que se pueda enlazar con la comunidad latina, de que podamos llevar mensajes a la comunidad latina. You know, we're in the, well, not in the middle of the sixth wave of the pandemic, but we are trying to manage the sixth wave of the pandemic and the importance of boosters. We know that starting on April 6th, April 7th, the fourth dose became available for some eligible people. So how is this going on? How is it the importance of boosters right now?
So, in general, against the virus, you have two different types of immunity, right? So you have a memory immunity, which allows your body to develop, to fend off an infection when it happens. But it takes some time. So that's why you may still have one of the reasons why we were so concerned around COVID when it first came out was it was a new virus. No one had any no one had been exposed before. And so you need to have that memory immunity so that someday when you encounter it again, you can have a reduction of risk. But there's also active immunity, which actually prevents you from even getting infected in the first place. So the memory immunity prevents severity, and the active immunity prevents infection. And so what we're concerned about, especially with the the sixth wave continuing, is that some people who are older or who have immunocompromise, they might need to have a little bit additional active immunity to protect against infection, as opposed to the severity piece that we were worried about.
So for those will not be needed by everyone, you only get some vulnerable people?
At this point in time, the evidence suggests that the first boosters are needed for everyone, because with Omicron, we know that three doses are the most effective. But for people over the age of 60, the recommendation is to have a second booster because it does provide a little bit more protection for those who are older and whose immune system may not be as active.
Okay. Con respecto a los boosters, a las segundas dosis de vacuna, a las cuartas dosis de vacunación, lo que nos dice el Dr. Lawrence es que hay dos tipos de inmunidad, y sobre todo porque este es un virus nuevo al que nadie había estado expuesto hasta que surgió el COVID-19, ¿no? Hasta que surgió la pandemia. Hay dos tipos de inmunidad. La primera es la capacidad del cuerpo de defenderse de los virus, y la segunda es la inmunidad activa que previene la infección. La primera es el cuerpo se defiende de los virus que vienen, y la segunda es simplemente prevenir que el cuerpo se infecte, y esto es con las vacunas. Así que dice, con lo que se ha visto hasta el momento es que las personas mayores y, bueno, las personas que se consideran vulnerables sí requieren esta cuarta dosis, o lo más recomendable es que obtengan esta cuarta dosis para aumentar un poco más el nivel de inmunidad activa. Entonces dice, para el resto de la población o la población en general, con una dosis de refuerzo, la tercera dosis, como se le llamó, sería suficiente, pero para los demás, para las comunidades vulnerables o los mayores de 60 años, sería requerido una cuarta dosis, es lo recomendado. Okay, so, yes, we're... The thing is that we are also like kind of in the middle of, well, not nowhere, but we are doubting about the information that the province and the government are giving us, because we have not been able to run some a lot of PCR tests, and we are now relying more on the wastewater samples and the hospitalizations and all this kind of information. So is this kind of information reliable enough to get to know where are we standing right now?
I think the wastewater signals are very reliable at this point in time, and we've seen them really reflect the activity in the community. The truth is, because COVID has now become so widespread, a lot of the testing and all those other pieces are a little bit less important around case finding and infection. It is now about making sure that you are vaccinated and boosted so that you have the best protection that's available. And I think the big thing is this really represents a change in approach from 2020. The reality is that COVID was always going to likely become an endemic disease. And what we did in 2020 and 2021 was we basically bought time until we could vaccinate and protect as many people as possible. So yes, the virus is quite widespread now, but it's better that it's happening now after everyone's been vaccinated, as opposed to back in 2020 when we saw what happened in some places where it did spread far and wide in a susceptible population. There was a lot of death, a lot of overwhelming of hospitals. And so right now it's less important about the individual tests and the individual case management contact tracing. It's more important to make sure you're vaccinated, boosted, and you have the best protection, knowing that COVID is going to stick around for some time.
Con respecto a la información información que ya no está disponible como antes, ya no tenemos tantas pruebas PCR que se estén haciendo. Yo le decía, ¿qué tan confiables son estos indicadores como las aguas residuales, las pruebas PCR, las pocas pruebas PCR que se hacen y también las hospitalizaciones, que son los datos que tenemos? Y al respecto decía que hoy en día el COVID-19, el virus está demasiado esparcido, está muy, muy esparcido. Y dice, se ha convertido en menos, o ha restado o ha tenido menos importancia el tener estos datos, y ha tomado más importancia el que la población esté vacunada y que tenga los boosters o las vacunas de refuerzo que requiere. Y sabíamos que en algún punto esto se convertiría en una enfermedad endémica. Y dice, al final, en el 2020 y el 2021, lo que esto todavía era muy nuevo y lo que queríamos era comprar tiempo, teniendo tanto control pues de la información y de todo esto, queríamos comprar tiempo hasta que las vacunas estuvieran disponibles. Y ahora que lo están, bueno, tenemos obviamente efectos secundarios, tenemos casos graves, una menor cantidad de casos graves, y por lo tanto estamos en un punto completamente distinto con respecto al esparcimiento de virus. Okay, and now about the restrictions, because when the restrictions were lifted at the beginning of the year, more or less, then we have the sixth wave and so many cases, and we met a lot of people around us that were infected. So was it too soon to lift the restrictions, or it was a good decision? What do you think about it?
Well, I mean, I think the reality is when after the Omicron wave and after five very significant waves of transmission, at least in Peel region, and of course, 92% of our population with a minimum of 2 doses and 50% with 3, at that point, when we started to lift the restrictions, we were in a very different situation than in the past. And so in the past, we tried to stop the spread and stop the cases because we knew some cases would end up hospitalized in ICU or they might end up dying. But now, because most people are vaccinated and protected, the infection doesn't hold the same severity. It's not as many people who've been infected, tend to have less severe symptoms now. And that really speaks to the shift in risk that we've seen around the virus.
Yo le decía que si considera que fue una buena decisión el haber levantado las restricciones justamente con el tema de la sexta ola, que fue tan, tan grande en ese momento. Y decía, bueno, después de 5 olas, aprendimos de cómo era la situación. Y dice, en ese punto ya era muy complicado, en aquel punto, en las primeras 5 olas, era muy difícil de manejar. Antes queríamos evitar los casos, pero ahora con los índices de vacunación y el tema, el cómo se encuentra el virus para esta sexta ola, bueno, pues la infección ahora ya no es tan severa y por lo tanto el levantar las restricciones pues era lo adecuado. Okay, so if the restrictions were lifted and it was okay, I mean, you consider it a good decision, what do you think about these areas like Brampton, for example, that is in the Peel region, that were affected, like not many of the areas, because the workforce and many of the, vulnerable people live there in Brampton, for example. So do you think that maybe in these kind of areas, we should take different measures to protect them? Or what do you think about these areas specifically?
Well, what we saw throughout this sixth wave in Ontario is that Peel and Brampton had some of the lowest rates of transmission in the province, and our hospitals were able to return to their regular pre-pandemic operations. Of course, they have a big backlog to clear, but so I think what's happened is now in Brampton and in Peel, because so many people did the right thing to get vaccinated and boosted, and also because there is a little bit of natural immunity that comes with the waves as well, and Brampton got hit hard, we've now entered this transition where, again, the severity and the worries around infection with the virus is significantly diminished compared to in the earlier phase of the pandemic when Brampton was really hit hard. And I think that's just a testament to the collective work and spirit of the community and looking out for each other until we had a vaccine, and then of course getting vaccinated and boosted.
Yo le preguntaba qué pensaba acerca de las acciones que se realizan en zonas vulnerables o con grandes casos donde se encuentra la fuerza laboral, como Brampton, por ejemplo, que está dentro de la región que él maneja, que es la región de Peel. Y dice que, bueno, que en estos, al día de hoy, en estas, hablando de Peel y de Brampton en específico, dice que tienen tasas muy bajas de infección y los hospitales están siendo capaces de regresar a las actividades como eran antes de la pandemia, poco a poco. Y dice, bueno, eso se debe a dos cosas, a que la comunidad está haciendo lo correcto, se han vacunado, y también porque se está generando esta inmunidad después de esta inmunidad que se genera después de los contagios. Entonces dice, ahora el riesgo a nivel colectivo, digamos, en estas comunidades se está aminorando. Estamos platicando con el Dr. Lawrence Lowe, el que es el oficial médico de salud de la región de Peel. Dr. Lawrence, let's talk about the medical attention. We know hospitals are understaffed and people have been delaying their treatments for maybe more than 2 years, some of them. So what do you think about it? And what is done right now? What is being done right now in order to fix this problem?
Yeah, it's a great question. And as you know, I'm not directly linked to our hospital, but I speak very closely with our hospital partners on a regular basis. One thing that we should note is that even before the pandemic, Peel hospitals were already, you know, some of the busiest hospitals in the country. Together, of course, with our public health unit, which was also our hospitals and our healthcare system, our public health unit in Peel, are some of the least per capita funded health units and healthcare systems in Ontario because of just the rapid growth in the region. So I'm very glad that in the sixth wave, because we had significant immunity, we didn't see a similar surge in our hospitals, and that's allowed them to keep to really ramp up and continue their capacity to try to clear the backlog. And my understanding is that, you know, there's a lot of commitments to fund and increase investment in the healthcare system in Peel, and also in hopefully in public health as well, that will hopefully help us to continue serving the community better.
Okay, con respecto a los retrasos, a los backlogs, que le llaman, a los retrasos que ha habido en la atención médica, dado que tenemos a poco staff y demás en los hospitales y gente que ha retrasado sus tratamientos o sus cirugías, que lo ha tenido que retrasar incluso hasta por 2 años, el doctor Lawrence nos comenta que incluso antes, o que viene un problema desde antes de la pandemia, dice la región de Peel, o los hospitales de la región de Peel, eran de los más ocupados y de los que tenían menos inversión, y esto se refiere también, o tiene que ver por el rápido crecimiento poblacional que hay allá en aquella unidad pública, en la unidad pública de Peel. Y bueno, dice que gracias, dice que en la sexta ola, durante la sexta ola, se creó un gran nivel de inmunidad, lo cual está permitiendo que se atiendan a más y más casos que están retrasados, y por lo tanto eso, y también con las acciones que se están haciendo hoy en día, están poniéndose un poco al día y la atención médica está mejorando. Okay, so now let's talk about, I asked you something related to the vaccination at the beginning, but I also want to take to jump in this topic again, because I have received some calls in the radio station. We have received some calls from listeners telling us that they don't feel so comfortable by getting the fourth dose. They are over 60 years old, and maybe they are part of these vulnerable people, but they don't feel comfortable with it because they say it's too much. Mm. Fourth dose is too much. What do you think? What would you say to them?
I would say, in fact, the evidence is very clear that you will get a bit of an immune boost, but it's not even going to be the same sort of immune boost as the first dose. I know a lot of people, when you had the first two doses, you had some people had some really severe symptoms and whatever. That's because it was a new virus and your body was, you know, trying to process, right? And it's just like, all right, this is a new thing. I'm going to try to fight it. By the time you get to the fourth dose, it's going to be very it's going to be very light, right? The symptoms likely, all those things will be light. It's not going to cause any lingering, like there's no lasting effects or chronic effects from the vaccine that we've seen. And it will give you a little bit of protection, just at least getting through the hump of the sixth wave. That said, there will be new vaccine products that will likely be coming out in the fall, particularly ones that are more targeted directly at Omicron. And hopefully those will be helpful in the future as well. But, you know, I think the recommendation is still, you know, getting your second booster, your fourth dose, will help to give you a little bit more protection while we wait for better products in the fall.
Okay, yo le decía al Dr. Lawrence que hay gente que nos ha llamado a la radio, gente que se ha comunicado con nosotros y que ha manifestado el no sentirse tan a gusto, tan confiado de recibir una cuarta dosis. Muchos de ellos dicen, ya es demasiado. Y él dice, bueno, que no nos preocupemos, que los efectos secundarios cuando ya se recibe la cuarta dosis, bueno, son mucho más ligeros porque el cuerpo ya está acostumbrado. Entonces, esta cuarta dosis para este grupo poblacional sí puede brindar un poco más de protección. Y además, también nos habla acerca de que van a venir nuevas vacunas o vacunas mejoradas en el otoño y que esto también puede resultar útil. I know that maybe it may be like too early to know this, but if in the fall we are going to receive new vaccines, this means that all people are going to receive them, or only these vulnerable people?
It will, like, you know, again, because this is a new virus, but most people now have three doses on board, the likelihood of severe symptoms with infection is much diminished once you have your first two doses and your booster. So I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but my guess would be if it would likely be targeted more at people who are older or people who have immunocompromised.
Okay, le decía yo que si van a hacer vacunas nuevas, que si eso va a ser para todos o solamente para alguna parte vulnerable de la población. Por supuesto, es muy pronto para saberlo, pero ¿cuál sería la información que hay disponible hasta el momento? Y dice, bueno, no lo podemos saber con certeza, sin embargo, bueno, esto lo que evitará también son síntomas más severos. Son vacunas que están, también nos decía antes, más enfocadas hacia la variante del Omicron. Y dice, yo creería que esto va más para las personas de mayor edad y, bueno, las personas se consideran población vulnerable. Okay, doctor, so another question that I want to ask you, that I mean, and people are also maybe wondering, because we have seen you working, you and all the staff, of course, in the government, working hard during this pandemic. And maybe, and some people, some specialists say that maybe we need to get used to the pandemic, and maybe in the near future, in the future, we're going to be, we're more prone to have more pandemics because of the global warming and different aspects. So what do you think that you learned, you government, you people that are there in the front lines, the frontline workers learned, and what can we do to help so we can avoid the severe, how severe are the pandemics in the future, maybe?
Well, I think, you know, the truth is climate change is one of the biggest challenges that our planet is facing. And especially with the changing climate and with the human population growing, you're going to see more and more human settlements encroaching in natural spaces. You're going to see more and more animal-human interactions that may risk, some sort of virus emerging again. And of course, we're not very clear about the origins of where COVID came from, but you know, the odds that it had a natural origin is very significant. And so I think to the extent that our next big challenge is really addressing things like climate change and human settlement, urban populations, that kind of thing, we need to really make sure that we are one with the environment, right? And so if we can ensure that the environment's protected, then I think that'll also help to protect human health overall.
Le decía que algunos especialistas dicen que somos más propensos a que volvamos a tener una pandemia en el futuro. Elementos como el cambio climático también dicen son aspectos que nos hacen más propensos a esto, o hacen más propenso a la cuestión de la salud. Y él dice que sí, que justamente los asentamientos humanos y cómo se están dando las cosas, eso está haciendo que haya más interacción entre humanos y animales. Y eso también puede provocar que haya nuevas pandemias, nuevo cruce de, pues vaya, de virus y demás. Entonces dice, no está, y aunque no está claro el origen del COVID-19 hasta ahora, definitivamente sí se convierte en uno de los principales retos el dirigirnos y el atacar o el dirigirnos hacia el cambio climático, el trabajar con el cambio climático o en contra del cambio climático. Y dice, porque al final estamos seguros que tenemos que ser unos con el medio ambiente para que también eso pueda ayudar a la salud humana. Dr. Lawrence Lowe, it's been a pleasure. Anything else you want to add and a message for the Latin community?
Gracias por la oportunidad. Y mi último mensaje es, nunca es demasiado tarde para protegerte con la vacunación, con una dosis de refuerzo. Gracias a toda la comunidad por su ayuda contra este virus. Fue dos años muy difíciles, pero tenemos una oportunidad muy buena por el futuro.
Nos queda un minutito y recibimos una pregunta a través del WhatsApp. We received a message in our WhatsApp, and they asked us, and I think it's a very good question. Do you recommend us to still wear a mask? Do you, and maybe you recommend to your kids, maybe you make your kids wear a mask nowadays?
At this time, I think wearing a mask is still strongly recommended by the Chief Medical Officer of Health in indoor public places. But, you know, I think the reality is that it is a very personal choice. And we see that, with the transmission starting to reduce and the opportunity to be outside more, I think the province will likely continue to revisit and revise that recommendation as is necessary. But at this time, the Ontario Chief Medical Officer of Health still strongly recommends it.
You use a mask nowadays? You prefer to use it?
So I personally, depending on the situation, I always take into account, you know, what I'm doing, where I'm, like, if I'm going to a restaurant and I'm going to be sitting there for 2 hours already without a mask, then I probably won't bring a mask. But if I'm on transit where it's required, or if I'm going to a place where people may be vulnerable, like in a grocery store or whatever, I'll throw my mask on.
Okay. Le decía de esta pregunta que nos hacían de si él recomienda seguir utilizando las mascarillas, aunque ya es opcional. Y él dice que sí, que los jefes médicos todavía lo recomiendan. Dicen, aunque sabemos que es una elección personal. Y dice, bueno, afortunadamente también ya cada vez hay más reuniones en exteriores, al aire libre. Y de todos modos, en los próximos tiempos, bueno, esa es una decisión o una recomendación que está en constante revisión para ver si sigue siendo recomendable. Yo le decía, ¿usted utiliza una mascarilla? Le dice a su familia que utilice una mascarilla. Y dice, bueno, dependiendo del entorno en el que me encuentre, si estoy en un restaurante, si voy a estar ahí 2 horas, pues probablemente no la voy a estar utilizando, pero si estoy en otros entornos, seguramente sí la estaré usando. Dr. Lawrence Lowe, gracias. Muchas gracias por esta entrevista y que tenga una excelente semana.
Muchísimas gracias y hasta la próxima.